All right. Very good. So, welcome to the Best Year Yet workshop. Very fun, exciting. A few things, some guidelines and encouragements and that sort of thing for our time together this afternoon or evening. One is, as always, when we come together to do practice sorts of things, as much as possible to minimize distractions. So to really give yourself the gift of being in the privileged environment. So as much as possible, you know, not interacting with other folks in your environment, if that works, and not turning on other media devices. You know, you're obviously having to use your phone or computer to do the call, but not doing other things, checking email or, you know, getting on the web or that sort of thing. So let all of that go for now. And then also along the lines of the privileged environment, that during the course of the workshop, people will talk about whatever they're seeing. And all of what happens is both confidential, and we'd ask that even within the workshop that you speak from your own experience. So not referring back to what someone has said at another point, you know, in another context. Maybe you run into someone in the grocery store, that sort of thing, or maybe even you're interacting with someone in practice in another way, not referring back to anything that happened on this call. And also within the call, you know, maybe at some point someone says something that's really moving to you or inspiring, or it sparks an insight for you. That's great, and we'd ask that you speak from your experience instead of referring back to what somebody else has said. So some encouragements particular to this workshop. The workshop is based on the book Your Best Year Yet, written by Jenny Ditzler. And it's a process that walks us through a set of helpful questions to bring awareness to conscious awareness to where we want to put our time, our energy, our focus over the coming year. And I'm just going to pause because I hear a number of people are still joining us or dropping off. So in order to help us with the minimizing distractions, let me turn that off. Okay, great. And I will just trust that if the audio is not good on my side at some point, that someone will just shoot me a text and let me know that. So at any rate, the Better Yet work that was originally written by Jenny Ditzler is a really fabulous helpful process to bring conscious awareness to where we want to put our time, our energy, our focus over the coming year. And as practitioners of awareness, of course, if there were to be a point, it would be to notice the process around all of it. So some folks may choose to make content goals over the course of the day around various aspects of your life, maybe work, family, health. Likely all of us will have some goals around our participation in practice. And some folks may choose to have their whole plan be around the process of practice, and that's fine too. As with everything, we notice the process of all of it. And hopefully, as we go through our year, we'll be paying attention to the how of all of it. So when we keep a commitment or reach a goal, we notice the process. When we don't keep a commitment, we don't reach a goal we had set for ourselves, we notice the process. So for anyone who had the great privilege of working with us yesterday in the Practice of Commitments workshop, we looked a lot at the process around all of that. So certainly we can be bringing that attitude of mind to this as we walk through these questions today. So we're going to move quickly through the workshop, and that's intentional because it works really well not to give conditioned mind time to noodle things. So the encouragement is to answer the question as it arises in the moment to answer the question. So if there's more to see about it later, maybe you're looking at it more later, you're recording about it later, you can add to it. But for now, to just answer the question in the way it occurs to you to answer the question, not needing to noodle it and decide if that's the right answer or that sort of thing. We will take a short break partway through the workshop, but to take care of your needs as you go through the workshop without, hopefully, losing the momentum or spirit of the participation. So, for example, you go off to use the facilities, not stopping to fold the laundry, that sort of thing. Just taking care of your needs as needed, but staying within the workshop as much as possible. So as I mentioned, everyone is muted. You can press star 6 to unmute yourself at any point if you have a question or you want to participate in one of the exercises. And so I'm going to take a brief pause here to see, give folks a chance to unmute if you have any questions about what I've laid out so far. All right. So I would invite you to close your eyes and begin by bringing all of the attention to the breath. Maybe starting with a few nice, long, deep breaths. And to allow the sensations of the breath, as the breath enters the body, as it fills the body, and as it leaves the body, to bring you more fully here, present, aware, attentive, all of the attention available for the workshop, letting everything else go for now. And just being here. So we begin the workshop with looking at what Best Year Yet calls accomplishments. Spending time in acknowledgement gives us the fuel for activity. So we'd ask you to take a moment to consider, what were your accomplishments in 2019? For now, just take a moment to consider that. And in a moment, I'll ask you to open your eyes, not quite yet, in just a moment. And when I do, without editing, without looking to condition mind, just start writing. Answering that question. What were your accomplishments? And allow yourself to see not just the large, obvious things that might usually fall into that category of accomplishments, maybe moved to a new city, got a raise, met a fundraising goal, but also what might be deemed small, quote, small things, or things that don't necessarily always get called accomplishments because maybe I always do that, like cared for my children. Or, well, I was already going to do that no matter what, like bought a car when the old one died. Let's see if you can not edit, just simply allow everything that occurs to you when you consider what were my accomplishments in 2019 and write those down. If you would please open your eyes and begin that process. What did I accomplish in 2019? So we're going to take one more minute for that process. So if you're still working on it, if you would take just a minute to finish up, please. All right, so we'd ask you at this point to stop writing, and with the reminder that, you know, you can always go back later if there's more to add. We can continue working on it, but for now, if you would please stop writing. And what we'd like to do now is to hear from three or four folks, just very briefly, with some examples of your 2019 accomplishments. And we'd especially be interested to hear from folks who had accomplishments drop in that you may not have immediately realized were accomplishments, kind of in that, what we looked at when we were giving the exercise. And this is to assist all of us to broaden our perspective of accomplishment, of how we think about accomplishment. And as people are saying those, they're talking about some of those accomplishments that they saw for themselves, if that sparks something for you, great. You know, make a quick note, jot something down that will remind you that you can fill that in later. So, you know, not to get bogged down in writing because then you'll start missing what folks are saying, but it's perfectly fine to just jot down a note to yourself if something that someone else says sparks something for you. That's part of why we're doing it in this way, to get to, for all of us to really broaden how we're seeing accomplishments. So with that, who would star six and jump in and tell us one or two of your accomplishments that dropped in for you?
This is Janice.
Janice.
Margaret.
And Margaret.
Hi, Jen. So the first thing I saw was the really big one was caring for my partner at home, and then when he was in the hospital for a month, and then preparing the home to be safe and comfortable for him to come home to. And that really stood out. But then what happened, I started to drop in like with something like that seemed like a very big thing. I acknowledged the fact that I continued throughout the whole time to show up for daily meditation. And often that was on virtual meditation and the year-long retreat and practices with Sangha. And I saw that there was no separation between how I could help the other person because I was supporting myself throughout the whole time.
So the obvious accomplishment might be that I really did a lot to care for, quote, someone else. And then the other accomplishment that could be more subtle and really dropped in for you was, oh, and you know what? I also cared for Janice, and there was no separation there. Everyone got cared for.
Yes, and I also put down that every 2 weeks I got body work for myself, and I thought that was a consistent practice that was so beneficial to me that helped ground me, and in some ways, you know, at first, like there was going to be a censoring. Oh, that is a luxury, and then
That's
I realized
no,
it was
right.
It was a basic.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Janice. Margaret?
So I noticed a couple processes that just stood out, no matter how small. And one was just kind of that I was able to just go for it.
But that felt like an accomplishment, that you really were in the process of going for it. That's fun.
Yeah, with life, not listening to voices of no or whatever, in some things that they would have stopped me from.
Yeah,
so that was one. And then also, it felt like it came to me, was just slowly wading my way into some daunting projects I have where I was stuck, and keeping going until I could see that I'm going to get through this.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it before that.
Exactly. That's a perfect example of broadening our definition of accomplishment, because often accomplishment is, I didn't finish the thing, and maybe I didn't even, quote, start the thing. But what you were able to see is that there's a process to all of it, and that there was quite a bit, quote, accomplished in terms of the process of that thing. That's very subtle and really important to see.
Yeah. And then the other one kind of came to me, I think yesterday, about when we were doing the other workshop, about practicing loving, being able to just go to loving, practicing that, or seeing that arise as that's what's necessary here, or that's what I want here, and dropping what could have come out or could have happened.
Yeah. Accomplishing, kind of keeping the attention focused where you want it to be, in this case, on loving.
Yeah. What a difference.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Todd?
Maybe one more? Yeah, Todd, great.
Yeah. I didn't quit.
We didn't quit. Let's just make sure we all have that on our list.
Okay. Because it felt like the campaign was to quit this year. It just was overwhelming at times. So I didn't quit, and I kept showing up, and I've showed up today. So thanks.
Oh, very, very good. And, you know, Todd, just little params. I project that the campaign is always to quit.
Yeah.
And so if this year felt like the campaign was big to quit, the chances are good. That's because we were paying so much attention.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yep. Was there more?
No.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. So we are going to move on to the next question. And so once again, if you would please close your eyes. And this time to consider, what were your disappointments in 2019? What were your disappointments? And again, the encouragement with this one is not to censor. So sometimes as practitioners of awareness, we realize that everything that happens is our best opportunity to wake up. So in one sense, nothing is a disappointment. However, much like doing a two-handed recording, we'd encourage you not to censor. Let any parts of you who felt disappointed about something that didn't happen, or something that did happen or didn't go the way you had hoped it would go, to put it on the list. To just really allow the various parts of you who may have had what they would call disappointments this year, allow that to be put on the list uncensored. Partly because the information that we get from this question will be useful to us as we move forward in the workshop. So again, in that way that we talk sometimes about the two-handed recording, the more we're able to really let the right hand say what there is to say, the more it gives the left hand material to use. Same thing here. So really let yourself list those out. Whatever that feels like today fits on that list, your disappointments for 2019. So if you would please open your eyes and begin that list. Okay, we'll take one more minute for that process. So again, for anyone who's writing, if you begin to wrap it up. All right, so if you would finish that, and again, if it feels like there was more to it, you can always go back to it later, but if for now you would stop writing, please. And so again, if we could just hear from three or four folks just briefly on some examples of what you saw in terms of disappointment.
This is Gail.
2019. Gail.
What I noticed immediately is it broke out into two groups, the dids and the didn'ts.
Mm. Got it.
So it was like, the stuff I did do, I didn't do it. It was the how I did it or what I did was wrong or not the way I aspired to. And then the didn'ts were the same thing, the hows and the whats that I didn't get around to, didn't do it in the way, blah, blah, blah.
Great. You know what, Gail, I project that's going to be really useful, that the way you are looking at it is going to be really useful to you as we go into the next couple of questions. So that's great. Thank you for that.
Cool. Thanks.
This is Tracy.
Laura,
Barbara,
and Laura, and Barbara, Tracy.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
My disappointments had a theme. All of them had a theme of showing up 100% in a way that others were requesting, whether it be business relationships or personal relationships, and not being acknowledged or valued or received. And you know, like customers saying, we need this. And be like, great, I'll make sure I'm totally. And then, you know, providing what they're looking for and it not being, you know, in terms of business, you know, the business not happening. And it just, there was like a repetitive and, you know, in a relationship, you know, these requests were made. It's like, no problem. You know, I'd love to, I can, you know, I can hear that and make adjustments, and then I guess they're not doing their part to, and it's just a lot of different content in that same process.
So really seeing a theme of, it sounds like, not really receiving, disappointed by the outcome of something. That either there wasn't the outcome you hoped for or there was an outcome you didn't want, you hadn't hoped for. And seeing that kind of recurring theme throughout.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, I think that's going to be, I think it's so useful, helpful to not censor ourselves in this section, because potentially there would be a lot of insight there in terms of the next couple of questions that will come after this. So it's great. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Laura.
One of the ones that came up that kind of surprised me was sort of the world stuff for being a disappointment.
Mm.
Like things in the world not going the way I wanted them to.
Yeah. I bet you're not alone in that. Yeah. So really seeing how when you look at disappointment, that some of the things that happened in the world felt disappointing, things that you really wouldn't have wanted, wouldn't have chosen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, got it. Okay, thank you. And Barbara.
Hi, thank you. I had a hard time because I'm like here now. So I kept on thinking like, yeah, these things are going wrong, but, you know, it's all a process and you're doing so much better. And, you know, don't concentrate on the negative because there's always going to be negative anyway, so who cares? And just that kind of thing. It was like really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, got it. Well, I mean, it's not, what's that?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah?
I was just going to say, it seems like what you're pointing at is why the two-handed recording is such a good analogy for this question, because it's that place, I don't know if this is true for you, Barbara, but for me, you know, the voices are at me about something, just blah, 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 right? So then sit down to do a two-handed recording, and suddenly it's like, you know what? It's actually, I mean, everything in the big picture is just completely all right. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong, and it's just, that's a little suspicious. Suddenly, everything's completely fine. So, yeah, you might just kind of, as you're continuing with it, Barbara, and as we give the next couple questions, you might see if anything does drop in that maybe, as you say, in that kind of, in the guise of that larger perspective where, I mean, it's absolutely true in one sense. There is nothing wrong. And so, and we don't want to, quote, dwell on the negative, right? But that's not the same as being present to kind of all of the life experience that we're having. So you might see just what drops in as you continue to sit with it.
I just wanted to add, I was even thinking that maybe it's egocentric karma conditioning trying to hide from me, like, what I am disappointed about.
Yeah. And so you might just make a little note to yourself. That could be a fun actual two-handed recording later today or tomorrow sometime. So just, right? Just say, yeah. Hey, anyone disappointed about anything from last year?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Gosho.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. Gosho. Right. So in this next section, we're going to look at what you learned, what we've learned over the last year, and in the form of what Bester Yet called life lessons, or we might say insights that you've gained from your experience. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to read over both your list of accomplishments and your list of disappointments. And as you do that, allow to drop in what suggests itself as learnings, or we might say takeaways from those lists. And then to jot down those lessons in the form of simple instructions. For example, trust life, or focus on one thing at a time. Or I loved Todd's, one that occurred to me when Todd was talking was, don't quit. And so really using the insight from the process, and people are really already pointing at it, seeing the process that's going on behind those disappointments, seeing the things that were on the accomplishments list, you know, what was there? So where Janice was talking about that realization of, wow, you know, really continuing to do the things that support me, even as I'm quite busy with taking care of, quote, someone else, really took me to a place I wanted to be, you know, or Margaret talking about that focus of attention and being able to have some of those process successes to really allow myself to put the attention where I want it to be. And so in this section, we're being open to what facilitated that? You know, what were the things that were happening there? Well, I was showing up. You know, I didn't quit. I took care of the human, whatever it might be, to form up for yourself. Just jot down a list of what are the lessons that seem to suggest themselves when you look at those two lists. And as I say, jot them down in the form of simple instruction. Okay, so we'll take some time to do that now. And we'll take about another minute to finish that process up. Sounds like someone just got unmuted. If you have a question, you're welcome to ask. Otherwise, if you would press star 6 and re-mute yourself, that would be great. Thank you.
Jen, this is Ashwini.
Yeah, Ashwini.
I think someone reported that video cams are on. If people could just turn their video cameras off.
Okay.
If they're logged in a way that...
That they could have a video option.
Yeah, yeah.
To make sure that's turned off.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
That I think everybody can individually set their video off because we haven't set it off globally.
We don't have a way to do that globally. Yeah, or we haven't. Yeah, don't right now.
exactly.
Yeah. So if people would just check to see if your, I guess that would, I don't know, maybe it could be on your phone too. But at any rate, probably if you're in the app or that sort of thing, if you no, just check and see if you've got the video function accidentally on. And then just usually if you just press it, that will put a little line through the video icon so you know you're not on video. That'd be great. Thank you. All right, so with the guidelines, if you would now look back over the list of these lessons and circle the top three that seem to speak to you most right now, which three of those lessons that you just jotted down seem to speak to you most right now? And these are going to become your guidelines for 2020. So this will be the first official part of your Best Year Yet plan. So circle the three that feel most relevant, that seem to speak to you most right now. Just either circle those or make a star by them, something to indicate those are the ones for this year. All right. And so, again, we'd love to hear from a few folks who would be willing to read us your three guidelines for 2020.
Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Karen.
Ramita.
Karen. And Ramita. Susan.
And this is Karen. Do I go first?
No, I've got you on the list, Karen. I think it's Susan was going to go first.
Thank you.
Oh,
sure.
Okay, this is Susan. The three that I circled were just show up, sleep on it, it's not urgent, and the body doesn't lie.
Oh, lovely. I love that. So sleep on it, nothing's urgent, the body doesn't lie, and just show up.
Yeah,
and that those are the three that really stood out to you that right now feel like those would be a large assistance if you were to really take those to heart as you're going through your life.
Yeah, I mean, I had about, I don't know, 7 or 8 others, but somehow they feel tied to those. You know, if I started there, downstream, those things would unknot themselves.
That's what I find too, Susan. Kind of look at which ones are the most upstream. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, and it was pretty easy to see when I looked back through because I could see it in everything. So yeah, it was a great exercise.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Susan. Mm-hmm. Erin.
Okay. Okay, so this is just kind of condensing down what I saw. Mm-hmm. But one of them, the first one was be the change.
Be the change. Love it. Mm-hmm.
The second one was all things are impermanent, so love with all my heart.
Mm-hmm. All things are impermanent, so love with all my heart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the third one is there are tons of possibilities.
Uh-huh. There are tons of possibilities. And what does that communicate to you? Does it feel like? How does it sound?
Well, just it spoke to a lot of things, a lot of the accomplishments that happened in 2019 that I was always afraid of and never thought I could do that I did. And I, and I had lots of help and I was never alone. And so it spoke to that and just how when you put an intention out there, how all the good people and people want to help. And I look at it on a world view too. There's just a lot of possibilities and a lot of good people out there and just anything's possible kind of thing.
Anything is possible. Yeah. Boy, I really see what you mean. It's like in all of those insights and realizations you had and looking back at your year, last year, there's so many guidelines that could have come out of that, and that it feels like there are tons of possibilities, really, like Susan was pointing out, I project, kind of sums up a lot of the various ones into one really powerful one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Ramita.
Yes. The three I circled were service is satisfying and rewarding.
Uh-huh.
You can
service
do this.
Satisfying and rewarding. You can do this. Uh-huh.
You can do this. Just don't quit. And
don't quit.
The heart has the answers and guides the way.
Mm. The heart has the answers and guides the way. And again, those coming out of looking at your list of accomplishments and disappointments from last year.
Yeah. The people, I tend to be, conditioning talks me to being a loner, and I do spend time alone, and yet so many of my accomplishments were people-centered and interactive and very rewarding, and the heart got me there, and when conditioning gets in there and says, you didn't do this, all that stuff, it lies, and focusing on I can do this, I'm continuing to show up.
Exactly. That just don't quit part. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's not really up to me in that small sense. It's about continuing to show up. And it happens. It does happen. I mean, you look at that list of accomplishments, there it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ramita. Was there anyone who needed assistance with this one? Something that you needed to kind of be facilitated around?
This is Laura.
Laura.
Well, my thing is I have four, and I can't choose between them. But
okay. Well, I remember.
Maybe that's not a problem, but.
Yeah, we used to do this process annually with one of our facilitators in the Sangha, and I always remember her saying, reminding us about the word and. That can be really handy in a situation
that's
like this.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any that can be joined in that way.
Yeah, I'll take a look through that lens. That sounds good.
Yeah. The other one that I sometimes say with Laura is to have them there. And, wherever I create, we'll talk about this at the end of the day, but put my best year yet plan to have them there. And then maybe to choose one each month to focus on. Mm. Or, cycle three in. Or because I think the reason for the three is that place of, there's dozens of ones that we want to work with. because what can happen is it dilutes the attention. And so there's a, I think it's Jenny Bissler actually who says, you know, if I have more than 10 goals, there's a way in which I have no goals because I'm just split all over the place. And so with those guidelines, you know, okay, there are four that really speak to me. Great. Well, as long as I have my attention focused on one or two or three at a given time, that might be completely fine. And I'm just consciously choosing that at any given time.
Yeah. That sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else want to give us their guidelines and or have something to be facilitated around it?
This is Christina.
Christina.
Hi. My three guidelines were say yes, dream big, and create breathing room or space.
Say yes, dream big, and create space. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh, or breathing room. Yeah, either one.
A breathing room. Uh-huh. Ooh, that is a really fun combination.
Right, the dream big and then...
Right? I love it. Because dream big, say yes. I mean, one of the, at least in my experience, conditioning's biggest complaint about say yes is, well, I can't do everything.
Yes. Right?
But then you've got that dream big, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to be exhausted at the... Nope, actually I'm not, because I'm going to build in space to breathe.
Yeah, exactly. There's a theme.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. You've got all the bases covered. Yeah.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Christina. All right. So we're going to move on to the next question. And so in this next section, we're going to look at paradigms. So in practice, we talk about beliefs. And for many of us, probably most of us, there are many, many unconscious beliefs operating in the background, impacting everything we do and don't do. And so for this next question, there are a number of different parts that we're going to walk through in this section. And so just kind of stay with it. Each step has its own piece, and we'll come together at the end. And so for the next part, please write down the first thing that occurs to you. So no need to figure it out. There's no right or wrong. Just jot down what you see. And so the question is, how do I limit myself? As practitioners, another way we might say that or look at that is, how am I limited? And so just jot that down, whatever you see about that. How do I limit myself? How am I limited? And it might not be one thing. There might be a whole list of things. You know, this way, that way, this way, that's fine. Just jot down whatever occurs to you. How do I limit myself? How am I limited?
Okay. And next, if you would consider, what do I say about myself to explain my, quote, failures? And this is another one where we get to kind of do an Aikido move around what the voices might do here. Well, I mean, there's no such thing as failure, right? But that's not what we're talking about. We're actually going to kind of beat it at its own game here. So in the places where I'm called a failure, you know, I'm not good enough at this, I can't do that, it's just da-da-da. What do I say to myself that explains that? What do I say to myself to explain my failures? And again, just jot down whatever occurs to you with that question. All right, so for the next piece of this, if you would look over the answers to those last two questions, and the answers to those questions lead us to what are called our limiting paradigms. This is the term Best Year Yet uses for those beliefs that keep us small. So to look over the answers to those last two questions and jot down the limiting paradigms you see from those. So, for example, some examples might be, I'm not good with technology. I don't have what it takes to really practice awareness. I'm not good enough. And it might be that some of your answers to those previous two questions might actually already be the limiting paradigm. And so to just look over all of that and what limiting paradigms do you see in those and to jot those down. Jot down the limiting paradigms.
And now if you would look over that list of the limiting paradigms and mark the one that seems to be having the biggest drain on you currently. So, you know, it's that place that we sometimes talk about conditioning being kind of always taking the energy, always sucking the life force. So which one is the one that seems to really be creating a great deal of suffering? Another way to look at it would be, which one, if it were to flip and you were really able to make a difference with that one in this year, would make the biggest difference in your life experience in this coming year? And circle that one. Put a star by that one. All right, so this is the fun part. So we're going to take that limiting paradigm, the one that you chose, the one that feels like it would make the biggest difference, that's currently having the biggest drain on you, and to use it to inform your new paradigm. So one way we sometimes talk about that in practice is we'll use the lie in what the voices are saying in the limiting paradigm to help inform what's actually true, and to state that in the new paradigm. So for example, if my limiting paradigm was, I'm not good with technology, my new paradigm might be, I have the skills to and love learning new things. Okay, so what the voices want to talk to me about is, oh, I'm no good with technology, and it stinks, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and that means I'm not able to really participate in the hunt, right? It's going to go on and on about that, keeping that limitation in place. But when I actually look at it, what I realize is, you know what? I just don't have a lot of experience with it. I haven't taken the time and energy and focus to really learn it. And what's actually true about me is that I actually love learning new things and I have the skills to do it. And I've learned a lot of new things over my life. And so what's actually true is I have the skills to and love learning new things. So as you look at that process, taking the limiting paradigm and flipping it around to find the new paradigm, some guidelines that are suggested for writing a new paradigm. And you're welcome to jot these down. I'll say them slowly, so if you want to write them down. To make it positive, so that new paradigm, I love learning new things. I have the skills, so it's positive. It's personal, so I have the skills. I love learning new things. It's present tense, so it doesn't say, I will be able to learn, or I'm going to. It's true right now. I have the skills. I love learning new things. It's present tense. It's powerfully and simply stated. You know, conditioning tends to go on and drag us into conversation, but that new paradigm is just straightforward, right? I have the skills to and love learning new things. And it's pointing to an exciting future. So again, kind of the five elements of a new paradigm. It's positive, it's personal, it's present tense, it's powerfully and simply stated, and it's pointing to an exciting future. So we'll give you some time to play with this. And it'll be enough time that if you choose to do it with the recorder, you're welcome to do that. Or just jotting it down. There'll be an opportunity to record later in the workshop. But if you want to work with a recorder about it, that's great. I would encourage you, again, obviously not to look to condition mind, but just have fun with the process. Just play with it. What suggests itself? What's the truth that comes out of that, the lie of that paradigm? And just play with it. Just see what occurs to you. And so we'll start working on that now.
So we'll take another minute or so to work on that, and there'll be an opportunity for anyone who wants a little assistance with it as well. But just for now, just see what you see. Keep playing with it for another minute or so. All right, so as we begin to hear from folks on this one, let's start with a few people who feel clear about their new paradigm. I'm going to be willing to say it out. Tell us what your new paradigm is for 2020.
This is Laura.
Laura.
Well, I really appreciate you using the example you did because that really helped me. Mine, the limiting paradigm is like I'm not good at organization. And so what I wrote was, I love learning. I have the skills and heart to learn anything I want.
I love learning. I have the skills and heart to learn anything I want. And you know what's so brilliant about that, Laura, I project, is that that's true. That's actually true. Now, whether I choose to put that energy towards organization or something else, completely up to me. But what it does is it flows through, at least for me, what conditioning wants me to think, which is I'm a victim of the whole thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that just blows right through it, your paradigm.
Well, exactly so, because they, you know, all of those limiting paradigms was up around the victim piece of it. And, you know, our workshop yesterday around looking at the process, around looking at this process of, at the heart of it, I love learning. Like, that just is who, you know, I am. I project we all are. And so I can apply that to any content area.
That's right. And if I choose not to apply it to organizing, then that's fine. But what I can do is stop having a conversation about how I should or I'm going to. Right?
So that's going to be fun for me to look at, because even as you say it, like, I can feel the resistance kick up. Right, because there's a should there, the good right person, right, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah. But here's what I project. You'll just have to see and maybe report back. It'll be fun, you know. Yeah, anyway, there's so many things to report back around in practice, aren't there? We need more radio shows or something. But anyway, what I project will happen is that as you use that new paradigm, that will, it's a funny word to use, but it will sort of force the issue. I mean, I think for all of us, that's the function potentially of a new paradigm, in the sense that if there's an intuitive sensing that organizing is going to have could potentially have a really big impact on my life, positive impact, right? An impact of, you know, to help me get out of the conversation, to help me to, you know, sort of be and have all the things I want to have, then that new paradigm is going to really assist me to do that and or highlight how that's not happening. And if, you know, I don't know, the example that just dropped in was, you know, if what I find is that's actually not where I want to put the energy and I want to hire someone to do my organizing for me, that's what I find out. But it really gives us the opportunity to get out of the belief system around it so that we can actually plug into what's the real information here.
That's fabulous. Because what dropped in when you're saying that, it was this question of like, oh, so trust life to guide? That's a concept.
Well, I think we've mentioned that before. Yeah,
I think I've heard that somewhere. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Laura.
Patty?
Margaret?
Susan?
Patty.
And then Susan.
When we were doing unconscious beliefs or paradigms, I had an image come up of when I was younger, and that I'm never in the know. You know, I'm always on the sidelines. Everybody else knows but me. And so the limiting paradigm was somehow I am outside of life. I'm separate from it. Mm-hmm. And so the new one is all of life is me. I am all of life.
Impossible for me to be left out.
Exactly. And I just am feeling that like the energy in the room is big. It's like that sort of sense of possibility, that sense of love and generosity and everything all combined. It's all there.
Yeah. And that's really, you're underlining the potential use of a new paradigm, which is, it's essentially a way to focus the attention. Because, you know, conditioning has this really juicy story around your outside life and you're not in the know and everybody else is. And that is, again, like we looked at with Laura, I mean, that is going to put you in a place, basically a victim of your life, right? I mean, what are you going to do about that? But when that story comes up, it can be the cue for you to turn your attention to the new paradigm and have that more expansive experience that you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in this moment, I get it about being connected, you know, like
you
I'm connected to everything. And I don't always feel that, but I do right now.
It's a blessing. Such a blessing.
Yeah.
Gesho. Gesho. Thanks, Patty.
Hello?
Barbara?
Yeah.
Hello. Barbara.
Hi. Yeah, my limiting paradigm that just sort of seemed to cover all of the limiting paradigms, the one that I chose was I'm just not up to it. That seemed to jump out. So my new paradigm just seemed really straightforward, actually. It was I'm up for whatever life presents to me.
Yep. I'm up for whatever life presents to me. And that's actually true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, initially I just thought I'm up for it, just that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up for it.
Mm-hmm. Also true.
Either way, you know, they just both feel really open.
Yep. Yeah. And to me, it's that place. I remember hearing Sherry say things like that. You know, often I think the phrasing would be something like, we're adequate to our lives. And when I was first practicing, feeling like, well, no, I'm not. I mean, I hate that, and I'm terrible at that, and I suffer hideously with that. But the point is, I'm here. So the fact that I'm here is absolutely shows how true it is that we're adequate to all of it, that I'm up for it. Because here I am. So everything that has happened, I've been up for it. And to turn the attention away from that negative paradigm that pulls all the energy and, you know, limits us, instead to turn the attention to, I'm up for life, what presents for me, to me. I'm up for it. And then it feels like what that opens us up to is the support that's also, that comes with that to assist us, especially in the hard things that feel like I'm not up for it, to be open to the support that's there to assist me.
Yeah, and it's got a quality of sort of bring it on for me.
Yes.
Yeah, like inviting new opportunities. Like it's not just, it's not just if things are hard. It's like I'm up for anything kind of.
Yeah.
Mm.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah, that really points to the one about pointing to an exciting future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Great. Jen.
Thanks, Barbara. Was there anyone who felt like they needed some assistance?
Yeah, this is Marianne.
And Mira.
Marianne. And Mira.
This is Marcy.
And Marcy. Great. All the M's.
So,
I guess I've so struggled with not expressing myself. So that's been the theme throughout this, and the paradigm was sort of a denial of the essential goodness. And so my new paradigm is this being expresses the goodness of all life.
Aha. Uh-huh. This being expresses the goodness of all life. Wow. So, Marianne, were you putting your hands up just to tell us that, or were you in the category of stuck? Because that doesn't sound very stuck.
No, I was just putting my voice on my head because I've been, because the struggle is not to,
I mean, that's delightful because that points at the really important piece of all of this kind of workshop in particular, which is not just finding the new paradigm, but practicing it and practicing the process of it, which is what you just did.
Great. Gotcha.
You express the goodness of this being. Yep. Great. Thank you, Marianne. Gosho. Mira.
I have a question, Jen. Does simply stated mean short?
I think that's sort of it's pointing in that direction. Was yours long?
Well, it seems like it's kind of long.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I wanted to check in. Can I just read you what I have?
Absolutely, please.
Okay. I'm not afraid to choose what I want in my life and to go after it. I have the time, the energy, and the mental focus and the willingness to say yes. This is how Mira wants to live her life.
Wow, so there is a lot in that. Really, I project big for you.
Yeah. Yep.
And so if I were, let's say, someone who didn't really do this kind of work very much, so I was kind of new to it, and you said that to me, and I said, well, what do you mean? What would you say?
I think I would say something about not being talked out of doing what I'm drawn to do because of all the usual excuses, like there's no time, I'm too tired.
Yeah. Yep. So not being talked out of doing what, did you say what I want to do?
What I'm drawn to do.
What you're drawn to, yes, that was the word. Doing what I'm drawn to do. And when you're when you do what you're drawn to do, what's the experience? Do you love it? Is it fun? Is it exciting? Is it what?
It's engaging. Let's see. I don't feel like I'm wasting time.
Uh-huh. Yep. So you don't feel like you're wasting time, and if you're not wasting time, then you're...
Then I feel like I'm participating.
Uh-huh.
That I'm not withdrawing.
That you're not withdrawing. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so that doing what you're drawn to do seems big. And as you continue to play with it, you might look over. I mean, the reason I asked that question in the beginning, you know, what do you mean by that? Just sort of playing with as if I was someone who didn't really understand those things that you laid out, is what's kind of the salient experience? And it sounds like it's one of doing what you're drawn to do. And it sounds like right now the level you're aware of is, you know, I don't want to be beaten up, we could say, by a conversation that says, you know, I'm not doing it, or I'm, you know, ducking out, or I forget the phrases you use. But, you know, all the things that I don't want to be in that conversation, right? And I project there's some experience that doing what you're drawn to do does provide for you. And so you know, for me, for example, I love doing the things that I'm drawn to do. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not talked out of it. In fact, that's why the voices want to talk me out of it, because they don't really want me to have that experience. That's an expansive, joyful way to live my life. And so if I were looking at something like that, I might choose a simple phrase like that. I love doing what I'm drawn to do.
Mm.
Right? So that when I'm, so what? An example for me would be stretching. It feels so good when I stretch the body and when I take care of the particular parts of the body that maybe struggle. And so the voices are always on their campaign. Well, no, I mean, it's too cold. I don't have time. It's not. And if I had a paradigm that every time that started in, I could turn my attention simply to, I love doing what I'm drawn to do. That might assist me to shift the attention to actually wanting it instead of, well, I don't want to not, you know, I don't want to be talked out of it. I don't want to be, but it draws me to what I do want.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense. It's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're most welcome.
This is Catherine.
Catherine.
Hi. I have a new paradigm that just really resonates, but it doesn't, I'm not sure it addresses the old limiting, you know, the limiting statement.
Yeah.
So the limiting paradigm is, I don't have what it takes. And the new paradigm is, I and my life are all possibility.
Mm. Boy, I'm definitely seeing a connection there.
Yeah.
You're not so much
okay.
Seeing a connection between those two?
Yeah, I'm seeing the connection. It didn't seem, I guess, you know, I went to condition mind for information. It's probably what happened. But,
can I tell you what dropped in for me, Catherine? Is that wisdom through Catherine did a complete, this must be up for me because it's like the third time I've heard myself say it, but a complete Aikido move. Because basically conditioning is framing it in this one certain way. What was it again? What was the limiting paradigm?
I don't have what it takes.
I don't have what it takes, right? So then I'm going to be in this thing, well, do I have what it takes? I don't know. Do I not have, well, I mean, yes, I do. Yes. I do have what it takes, you know. But then read the new paradigm again.
I and my life are all possibility.
Yeah, all possibility. It completely just leaves that framing in the dust and states what's
true.
Yeah,
it does.
And it makes the limiting paradigm completely moot, totally irrelevant.
Absolutely. It makes limits moot. There are no limits.
There aren't any.
No,
there's no such thing. It's an illusion. It's like I just pictured, you know, in hotels where every door has its own key, but then there's the master key that unlocks all the doors. It's like that. That's what your paradigm is for all paradigms, because there's no such thing as a limit. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
This is Marcy.
I miss Marcy. Thank you. Yeah.
Can you hear me? This is Monica.
Okay. And then Monica.
And Rochelle.
And Rochelle. I think we have time.
Okay, this is Marcy. So I really felt that the paradigm that limited me of all paradigms was that I'm not enough.
Uh-huh.
It all boils down to that story that I tell myself that I'm just not enough. And so...
That the voices tell
me. That's what the voices tell me. That's the story I listen to. And so I put out, I am enough. And I feel like I need more than I am enough.
Mm.
I am enough is not enough. That I want to say, I am enough. I've got this. I am enough to all of life. I am enough, enough, enough. And something that, you know, just opens me wide open.
And does it feel like, Marcy, I mean, we're sort of joking, but does it feel like as you're looking for what else to put in the paradigm, does it feel like the same process is happening there? Like, this isn't enough. There needs to be something else to make me feel a certain way.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's exactly it.
Yep.
Like even my paradigm isn't enough.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, here's the thing. One of the things I remember Best Year Yet does talk about is sometimes the new paradigm, because it's new and because, you know, we're so used to being in the conversation of the limiting paradigm, is it can take a little while to move into it and play with it. So you might, just because that's such a brilliant insight, oh, wow, this is the exact same process, you know, now my new paradigm isn't enough. You might just play with the simplicity of that paradigm for whatever period of time. You could even put it on your calendar. Okay, for 3 days, I'm going to use that, and then I'm going to check in, right? And then to see if, is there something else, you know, I'm enough and it's all perfect, or, you know, whatever it is there something else that would assist Marcy to really take that in, to realize right here, right now, I'm enough with what is, you know, what would assist her to really take that in? But for now, it could be fun just to simply play with, actually, it is enough, right? Complete, done. And stay out of that conversation and then just be open to insight after you've had a chance to sit with it for a while.
That feels good. That feels like I am enough and that's it.
Exactly.
There's nothing more to say.
Right.
to say. That's it. I'm enough.
That's it. I'm enough, period. Well, but I mean, blah, blah. No, I'm enough. Well, but I mean, you can't just, well, I guess I can because I'm enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going with that. Thank you.
Great. Lovely. Monica.
Okay, so I don't want to get too analytical about it, but I did have a question about, like, just the belief in the paradigm, because it seemed like I wasn't sure exactly what the difference between just having a belief of, like, I'm not good at technology versus a paradigm.
I think belief is more the language we tend to use, and paradigm is the language that Best Year Yet uses.
Oh, okay. So I was looking at, like, just like, oh, it doesn't matter if I do this or do that. Like, it doesn't matter if I watch Netflix or if I read a book or, you know, that kind of thing. That,
sure.
And so I was struggling with a new paradigm language because there's this part that knows that everything is connected and that it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
But also that I don't get to know how it, like, I don't, it's like this mystery that I don't know what the impact is going to be, but just knowing that it's got an impact is, I don't know, I got a little lost.
yeah. So the limiting paradigm being, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, so I watch Netflix or I read a book. I mean, it doesn't matter. And really getting to that it does matter. And what would you say, Monica, what is it about that particular limiting paradigm? So when we were doing the part where we were choosing the one that feels like it would have the most impact on our lives, what was it that had you choose that one, would you say?
I guess because, you know, the separation is the like that one thing I came to this year is just like that idea of suffering is that sense of separation, and that kind of spoke to it, I guess.
So one, I missed a few words. One thing you came to this year was something about separation.
Yeah, that separation is suffering, and that paradigm kind of spoke to that sense of separation.
Yep. And so would there be something around that you're not separate? Being part of the new paradigm?
Yeah. I think I was trying to make it too cosmic of like, oh, there's this mysterious interconnected web of life and, you know, but it's really just...
It's really just I'm not
separate. I'm not separate.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and I'll tell you, Monica, just one of the things I think that's interesting is that, you know, in Best Year Yet, they talk about making the paradigm personal, like I am not separate. And, you know, in practice, there's sort of a little bit, at least for me, there's a little sort of translation that has to happen in there because that's sort of a funny thing, right? I am not separate. Well, then who am I? What am I not, right? What am I not separate from? But I think, but what I enjoy about this Best Year Yet process and the way that I kind of come at it is I see what they're pointing at. And it really assists me in my practice to play with it in that way. And so, you know, yeah, that might just be fun for you to hold that awareness with it. But, you know, so to play with, I'm not separate. But that might be an interesting, again, kind of like we were looking at with Marcy, just for some period of time, to play with that as the paradigm and watch what happens when you're in those situations with the Netflix, with the book, with the, it doesn't really matter what I do. You know, remember that paradigm, use that paradigm, I'm not separate, and see what happens. See if that has the impact you're hoping it will have.
Yeah, okay, great, that's helpful.
Great, thank you. I know Rochelle was in the queue, and I feel like there was one other person. Was there one other person?
Jodine? Time? I wasn't in the queue.
Okay. Right, I think, was there someone else besides Rochelle, or was that it? Okay. We'll take Rochelle, and then we may have to move on. We'll see. All right, Rochelle.
Okay. This was actually very helpful with this new paradigm because I really didn't realize there was this underlying limiting paradigm. And what I found in looking at last year was there's an underlying story that there's not enough time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very busy with work and everything, and the disappointments were related to I didn't get around to doing this because there wasn't enough time. It's actually not true because the accomplishments were things that on the surface, in fact, conditioning said you don't have enough time for this. You can't do this. You can't possibly do this. And I was able to do it anyway and do things that were important and necessary to be done. And so what I came up with is life provides enough time for all that is necessary.
Yep. Amen.
And so it is not necessarily what I want to do or what have you, but when I look back over it, there was enough time for all of the necessary, important things to do, and those were my accomplishments. So it is not just a new paradigm. It's actually a paradigm that has been there in the past. It's just I didn't realize how much I entertained the story that I don't have enough time, and that I one of my goals now, I guess, is to not entertain that story. And points to the new direction of life provides enough time. Only conditioning says there's not enough time. And then the other part of it is for all that is necessary. There's a lot that's not necessary.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you, Rochelle, you're reminding me of one of my favorite peace quotes of all time that I actually have right here in front of me that says, beside the noble art of getting things done, there is the noble art of leaving things undone. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. And that's exactly what you're pointing at. And it's so brilliant because when I project that new paradigm, it's just like we were looking at with Laura, when Laura started us out with her new paradigm, where that place of it gets me out of that victim system, right? There is enough time. And now, so when I get it dragged into, well, I don't have time for that, the choice that's put in front of me is I have time for everything that's necessary. So let me look, just pause for a minute here, and look at what's necessary. And that doesn't have to mean, you know, going back to what I think we were looking at with Janice. Well, I mean, I'm taking care of someone who's ill, and so it's not necessary for me to go to yoga. But actually, if I'm paying attention, what I realize is that's absolutely on the essentials list. And so we really get clear when we get to use a paradigm like that. It's so brilliant.
Exactly. So that's what I've seen. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you, Rochelle. So we have about 2 minutes before we take a break. Jodine, did you have something quick on this one? She's muted.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
There's one thing that's there's part of it that's quick.
okay.
I had a limiting paradigm that says I never win.
Mm.
And I turned that into I'm winning.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it's so silly, isn't it? Winning. Right? I never win. What is it talking about when it's saying that? Because the truth is we're each always winning at this life, because it's what some of the quotes in yesterday's workshop were pointing at. You're that Jodine is the only Jodine there is, right? This Jen, it's the only Jen there is, right? I'm the only one living this unique expression of life, so I'm winning. That's just how it is. There's
right.
No way to lose.
Yeah, like I don't want to look. I don't want to look to conditioning to define what
right.
that means.
Exactly. Precisely.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
So I'm going to try that one on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In the way we've been looking at with a number of folks, right? Just play with it for X period of time. Check back in. If at some point another one occurs to you, great. And, the reason I say that X period of time, that feels key. Because if I just say, well, I'm going to try it on, at least for me, that's an invitation to just noodle it to death, right? Well, today it doesn't really feel, it kind of worked yesterday, but now it's not really, no. For 5 days, I'm using it, period. I'm just using it. And then at the end of the 5 days, if we want to sit down with the recorder and revisit, what did we see about that? And if there are any changes we want to make, great. But it all comes into conscious awareness instead of being a constant conversation with conditioned mind. So that's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So we are going to take a break at this point. It is 42 minutes past the hour. So we will come back at 5 minutes to the hour, so that's like a 13-minute break. So 5 minutes before the top of the hour on the West Coast, that's 5 minutes before 3 o'clock, whatever that is in your time zone. We'll be back at 5 minutes before the hour. All right, thank you. Oh, and just to say, if folks want to use that time to record and listen insights, things you're seeing, you're certainly welcome to do that. Hop off the call if you want to, hop back on, however you want to do that. And we'll be back at 5 minutes before the hour. Thanks. All right. So welcome back. And for the next question, we'd ask you to make a list of the roles that you play in your life. So, for example, mother, brother, son, boss, colleague, sangha, practitioner, friend, parishioner, community volunteer. What are the roles that you play in your life? And be sure to include, so jot those down, start writing those down. And as you're writing them down, to be sure to include one role that takes care of you directly. So it could be a mentor, a coach. So if I were making the list of roles, I might say Jen's mentor. That sort of thing. So make sure to include at least one role that directly takes care of you. You're also welcome, and actually even encouraged, if it's relevant, to include a role that you want to add this year. So for example, author. So let's say I've never written a book before, but I want to write a book. I might include author on my list of roles. So begin to go ahead and make that roles list right now. What roles you play in your life. And at any point, if you have a question about any of the exercises or that sort of thing, just press *6 to unmute and ask.
Jen, this is Joan.
Yeah, Joan.
Hi, I just want to make sure. So we're jotting down what roles do I play in my life, but we're also adding roles that we want to play.
You can. As well? You can, yep. Because as you make your best year yet plan, if there are, like I used that one author, if I know I'm going to have a goal around, you know, beginning my first book, then yes, I'd want to include author in my list of roles because that is a role I'm going to have this year.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Right, and now if you have more than 8 roles on your list, Best Year Yet encourages that really a maximum of 8 roles is what seems to work well. And some people even feel like that's more than they can really get their arms around. So to look over your list and to consolidate roles if you have more than 8. So for example, if maybe I had listed out aunt and sister and cousin, and I might consolidate those to family member. Or if I play a variety of roles related to practice, it might feel like I could consolidate those under practitioner. So if you have more than 8 roles, to look over them and consolidate to no more than 8. It doesn't have to be 8, it could be fewer, but no more than 8. So take a moment to do that. All right. Now, for each of those 8 roles, if you would assign each a score from 1 to 10. So one being either it's brand new, so you haven't even gotten started with that role, you haven't done anything with that role, or it might be a one because maybe it's an area where you feel it needs a lot more of your attention. It's just not where you want it to be currently. So a 10 would be that it's in great shape. It's exactly where you want it to be. So for next to each of the 8 roles, or however many you have, if you would jot down a score from 1 to 10. All right, and so the next step is to, again, look over your roles and decide which will be your major focus for 2020. So this is a role that will play a primary part for you this year, something that you'll be giving extra time and attention to. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a role that got a low score. It could be any of the roles. Anything that occurs to you in terms of a place that feels like it's going to be a big focus for you in this year. And either circle that or put a star by that one. Okay, so we're not going to pause here to process on this part of it before we move on to the next piece, but I do want to make space for if anyone had a question or needed assistance with any of that roles part of things.
This is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
Could you tell me again about how I'm ranking these, the numbers 1 to 10?
Sure. So one would be either it's a brand new role, like I used the example of author. So I would have given that role a 1 because I haven't written anything. I haven't done anything about being an author yet. Or a 1 might also mean, it's a place where it's not, that role is not where I want it to be. What would be an example? Maybe, Todd was talking early in the workshop about, getting talked into quitting. So maybe I'm on this Best Year Yet workshop, and maybe this is the first thing I've done with practice in 2 years because I got talked out of practicing. So that might be a place where I might just jot down a 1 because it feels like it's not yet where I want it to be. A 10 would be I'm completely on it. I'm cruising. It's where I want it to be.
Okay. I get it now.
Does all right,
thank
sense?
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
And Jen, this is Rebecca. Rebecca. Would you say again which one we're circling?
Oh, the major focus. So which one feels like is going to be a place where you want to put some extra time and energy? So, for example, Rebecca, actually, to connect the two, if author was a place where I really, I've never done that before. But I realized I want to go for it this year. Like that actually, for 10 years, I've been wanting to do this book project. I've been saying I'm going to do it. It kind of hooks up with some of our conversations around the new paradigm. And I decide this is the year. This is the year. So that might I might choose that as my major focus.
Okay, thanks. It's not what's most important to us or anything like that. It's just sort of what we want to focus on, whether we have in the past or not.
Exactly, whether we have in the past or not. And that's a nice clarification, right? So, you know, I might have lots of things going on in my life. Like, let's say I'm a parent of small kids, right? So I might feel like, well, mother, I mean, that's going to have to, or father, that has to be my major focus because it's so much of my time. But maybe in terms of the energy of what we're talking about in the coming year, maybe I really want to put extra time into writing that book. Or maybe this year what I realize the biggest difference that's going to be made is Jen's mentor, right? The person who's going to directly take care of this person, kind of that the downstream effect that we talked about earlier. So, yeah, that's it. It's not necessarily what seems most it's just where I want to put what's going to be a real focus for me this year, where I want to put extra time and energy.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions before we move on? All right. So what we're going to do now is to move into brainstorming goals for each of those 8 roles. And at this point, don't worry about the number of goals. Just jot them down. So you might look at, for each of the 8 roles, what would you like to achieve in that role for this year to make it your best year yet? Right? So I look at the role of practitioner. I look at the role of Jen's mentor. I look at the role of family member. I look at, for each of those roles, what are some goals that drop in for me that would assist this to be my best year yet? And a few things about that. Again, if you want to jot down these notes to assist you in kind of how to form these up. So to make the goal, to make each goal specific, so, for example, if I said I want to earn more income, well, how much income? You know, is it $5,000 more? Is it 25% more? Is it, you know, so you want to make it specific. And related to that, measurable. So, again, how much income? Or by when, right? And to start with a verb. So to earn, to write the book, to whatever it is, to start with the verb. And some goals may have one large outcome that will require many steps along the way. So, for example, I want to earn 10% more income by December of 2020. And so that's a large outcome goal that will require lots of smaller steps along the way. And some goals may be more of a process where the steps themselves are the outcome. So, for example, I want to spend 15 minutes reading with my son each day. So that's an example where the actual goal is the small steps. And so it can be nice to have a variety of both, but not a requirement. And so for now, you're just looking at each of those roles and just jotting down what occurs to you. There might be one goal for each role. There might be more, as I said. So now, don't worry about the number. Just jot down what occurs to you in terms of goals for each of your roles. And we'll take a good chunk of time to work on this. I'll check back in a bit. And again, folks are welcome to unmute and ask questions along the way if you need assistance. All right. And as you wind down on that, the next step is if you would please look over what you've written in terms of the goals and cross out any that you're not willing to do what it takes to achieve them this year. So it's really important, of course, not to look to the voices for that process. So it's not looking at the goals and believing something like, well, I mean, I've never done it before. I probably won't be able to. Or I've put that on my list of goals before and it hasn't happened. So you're not looking to a conversation like that. Instead, this is just an opportunity to be honest with ourselves. So, for example, we've been using that one about writing a book. So let's say, you know, I really want to write a book. And when I stop and look at that, what I realize is I do. But when I look at this coming year, I realize this actually isn't the year to do it. And so to cross out any goals like that, that you realize it is important to you, it's exciting to you, it's, you know, any of those things. But if you realize this isn't the year for it, just cross it out. So just take a moment for that. Okay, and so now we'd ask you to look over all of your goals and to choose the 10 that will mean the most to you, that will make the biggest difference for you in 2020. So you could circle them, you could put a star by them. And this can be a place where it's useful to look back at the other pieces of what we've done over the day. So look at your guidelines. Look at your new paradigm. Look at your major focus and look to see if there are clues in any of that about which of these goals that you've brainstormed so far would make the biggest difference for you in 2020 that would truly facilitate this being your best year yet. And so to take some time now to look back over the whole list and to circle or star or in some way indicate which are the 10 that you're going to have as your top 10 goals for 2020? One of the other quick things I would note about that as you're looking at it is sometimes in the world of goal setting, people say it's helpful to have a balance of goals which are realistic and goals that are exciting and inviting us to stretch beyond where we are, beyond our limiting paradigms. So if all 10 of my goals are things where, I love to do it. It's going to take a lot out of me this year to really focus on that one. If all 10 of them are like that, that might be a stretch. But if there's a balance, some of them are in that category. Some of them are if we go back to the example of the car that I used earlier today, let's say I have an old car. And I know that this is probably the year that we're going to retire that old car, then I might put as one of my top 10 goals, buy a new car. And yeah, that's something that's going to have to happen, but it is somewhere that I'm going to put some time and energy and focus, and maybe I want to really practice with it in a way that has that be a fun process, not drudgery or not however the voices would want to make it be. And so that might be more in my realistic goals category. So you can also look at that to see if there's a balance between those. So again, taking time to look back over all of the goals and marking the 10 that will be your top 10 goals for best year yet this year.
Jen, this is Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
I just wanted to clarify, first of all, can it be less than 10? And
yep,
I guess what I was looking at was kind of like these larger areas. And then when you say 10, you know, there might be, you know, develop role as coach or something like that. And then maybe there's three specific goals under that. Is that what you mean by part of the 10?
Or so say the big one again. Develop
role as coach.
Develop role as coach. Yeah. And so, first of all, Scott, I don't necessarily need to know the content, but that's measurable for you?
That not yet, but then when I get into the goals, then it is measurable.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, coach is one of the roles that you're sort of adding, the way we've been talking about author.
Yep.
Got it. And then is that the major focus you're choosing for this year?
Yes. Or not? It's one of them. Yep.
Okay. And the reason I ask that is that sometimes whatever folks chose back in that, okay, which of the eight roles is going to be your major focus for 2020, sometimes people will have more than one goal for that role, which makes sense, right? If that's going to be the major focus, they might have that. If you have less than 10 goals and you have several goals under that coach role, and that coach role is going to be one of the major things you're focusing on this year, I would say go ahead and put all three.
Okay, great.
Does that make sense? Is that what you were asking?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. And as Scott did, if folks have questions as you're completing this process, please do ask *6.
Jen, this is Patty.
Yeah, Patty.
Okay, so we have roles we play, and we've rated them with where we think we are doing really well in and where we aren't. So we take the ones,
It's a great question. Yeah, we didn't really make that tie-in. So that the scores that we gave to each role, Patty, may or may not inform which goals you choose, but it can be helpful. Right. It can be helpful in the sense of, I think it was maybe Rochelle who was saying that in the paradigm exercise, boy, it helped her to see that there was this thing, you know, operating below the level of conscious awareness. And so that's one of the things that scoring can kind of help us with, is to realize, oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize I'm seeing a potential for that role that I realize currently isn't being realized. So that might inform, you know, that being more of a focus this year, or it might not. You know, it might be that I put a 2 in a certain role, and that might be just absolutely completely appropriate for right now, you know.
And nothing
that
needs
might
to
not,
be done.
And nothing needs to be done, exactly.
Right. Okay.
So a, quote, low score on the role doesn't necessarily mean there's a, quote, problem. It may just mean that's just not a big focus for me right now, and that's
right.
Appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're going to take another 2 or so minutes to finish that process up.
Jen, this is Joan.
Yeah, Joan.
Hi. Okay. I just can't narrow it down to 10.
It's tricky, isn't
I've got, I've got 12.
Okay.
Or so, 12 or 13. But I do feel, even with all the goals, I do feel that there is like one that will just be the central, the highest priority, no matter what. You know, and that's going to be letting divine intelligence guide me, you know, my mentor. So, so I'm not
is
sure
that,
what
and
to
that's
do.
The goal is letting divine intelligence guide you. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I mean, I have more specific things like recording, listening, you know, once a day and, you know, I have facilitators. And him, all that stuff. But I mean, ultimately, really, you
that's
know.
What it's pointing at.
Okay. So it's like some of these, I mean, they're like specific behaviors, you know, that are goals. That, so they're just things to do. I mean, some are big. Well, you know, they're
Give me some examples.
Okay. So, I mean, like, under the divine intelligence supporting, you know, mentoring Joni. The record and listening practice is going to be really key. So that's once a day. I also have something, just some tools that have really are working for me, you know, for moving towards to divine intelligence. I developed the processes to, you know, when I'm in a bad place, like, how to get out of it. And so that's like, you know, one. The facilitator, you know, from the Menlo Park retreat, the inner facilitator, that's a big one for me. So these are kind of things that are all related to the divine intelligence, you know, right, to practice.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, absolutely.
Intelligence.
Yeah.
But, the, but then I also have some exciting things. I mean, I do have to bring in more. I have to bring in new income this year, not more, but necessarily, but new. I do have some things that are exciting, but they're risky because if I put my attention there, you know, it means I won't have as much attention with the things I feel I should do, if that makes sense, to maintain financial, you know, stability. So, but if I go with my excitement, then those would be higher priorities too. So,
yeah, well, and that might be where Best Year Yet is pointing at having kind of a balance. So if I have 4 or 5 really exciting big things, you know, I mean, maybe that's completely appropriate, but maybe not. You know, maybe I choose one of those this year. You know, which is the one that really speaks to me this year? And if I end up really, you know, working on 2 or 3 others of them in the course of the year, great. But I know which one I'm choosing to put my focus on as the primary focus, right? So that might be a way to work with kind of those big, exciting ones. The thing that was dropping in for me, Joni, because I'm right with you in terms of, you know, so that larger process goal, which I think as awareness practitioners is really common for us. A lot of times, you know, the deeper we get into practice, the more we realize, as we began the workshop with, it really isn't about the content. You know, it really is, all of it is an opportunity to practice the process. And yet, it's the content that really allows us to specifically practice with the content, I mean, with the process. And so, there are so many things. You know, if what I want is to let divine intelligence inform, then, oh my goodness, there's recording and listening every day, and there's the facilitation skills I learned on the retreat, and there's the, you know, the all the various things. And one thing that I found really helpful in a situation like that on my former Best Year Yet plans is to have the clarity be the goal. So, for example, facilitate Joni to practice letting divine intelligence inform. I forget exactly how you phrased it, but it was lovely. by checking in. I'm completely making this up. You know, it would be whatever structure works for you. But checking in each Sunday to decide what way we're going to focus with that this week. And so every Sunday afternoon, I sit down and I check in and I say, okay, well, this week, recording and listening every day is going to be my focus. And next week, I'm going to choose haha. And the week after that, and that way, I'm constantly being reminded of why I'm choosing these, why I'm doing these smaller goals, right? I'm remembering the larger goal every week. And I'm assisting myself to not be split in a lot of different directions that may be hard to maintain.
Right. To just pick one. Now, the thing is that these are goals I have here, but then I still have the rest of my life. I mean, it's still like, this coming week, you know, there's deadlines I have for projects already in process, you know, that I have to meet and stuff like that. So sometimes, you know, like earlier people, the whole issue of time and all that stuff. But I think, you know, even if my one priority this week is to get X done, because I said I would, and I will, I made that commitment, I think still knowing that I have the divine intelligence, you know, that's going to be, I think what's happening for me is kind of developing that to be there with me all the time, you know?
Yeah,
I do. As long as that's with me all the time, then I should be making best choices I can, you know, making the best at any given time.
Exactly, and she will be, because here's the thing. If we combine it with, I don't want to refer too much to yesterday's workshop, in case, you know, I know not everyone had an opportunity to do it. Hopefully we'll repeat it because it was brilliant. But taking the spirit of what we looked at yesterday and really what we look at in practice all the time, if we remember that the entire quote point of all of it is to see the process. So I realize, wow, divine intelligence is just, it's an exquisite process. I have experiences of that. I realize a lot of times that's not what I'm operating from. I want to really develop that skill. I want to develop that relationship. Then what we get to is I truly am making the, quote, best choice, the best use of my time all the time as long as I'm paying attention. Because I'm either making choices that assist me with that, or I'm being talked into things that don't assist me with that. But either way, if I'm paying attention, it's all leading me to where I want to be, right? Which is really plugged into that divine intelligence.
Yeah. And paying attention means a lot of different things for me. Obviously, it's paying attention to the moment, you know, with the process of what's happening, but it's also like, at any moment, the process, then that's an opportunity to use tools. You know, if I'm in a place that's not divine intelligence, then all the tools we have, one of them gets to drop into place to get me back to the center the best I can, you know? So.
Yes, exactly. And as Todd pointed out, and any number of people have said along the way today, as long as we don't quit.
Yeah, that was one of my three that I my yep. the three in the beginning.
Very good.
Don't quit. Hang
Excellent.
In. So, this was really helpful. Have the clarity be the goal. Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
That was great,
thanks, Joni.
Thank you.
All right. So, congratulations. You now have your top 10 goals for 2020. And as we talked about in the very beginning of the workshop, you know, and we talked, especially in the new paradigm exercise, you know, there may be, as you work with it over, especially the very first part of the year, you might see other things about it. You might have insights and awarenesses that have you move things around a little bit. And that's great. I would encourage folks to use that structure that we talked about to not get stuck in a noodling process, but to keep this as your plan for X period of time and then check back in and see if something informs in terms of wanting to tweak something. And so you now have your best year yet plan. We won't do it on this call today, but I strongly encourage you to do it later this evening or to put it on your calendar for sometime this week to give yourself the space to make a poster or to make a recording or both, to put together all of the elements of your best year yet plan. And those elements are your three guidelines, your new paradigm, your major focus, which role did you choose to be your major focus, and then your top 10 goals. And those are the elements of your 2020 best year yet plan. And so, as I say, it can be really fun to put it up as a poster or something that will allow you to keep it in the front of your awareness as you go through your year. And so we're going to do an exercise now that heads us in that direction.
Jen?
Looking at, yeah.
Could you please repeat those? I'm sorry. I
sure.
Two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So the elements of your best year yet plan are your three guidelines. You know, those were the lessons learned part, like don't quit. So your three guidelines, your new paradigm, I'm enough. I think that was one of the examples we had in new paradigm. Your major focus, which role is your major focus this year? Coach was one we heard. Author was another example. And your top 10 goals. And with Joni, we were looking at that place where, so maybe you have a number of goals. I want to record and listen every day. I want to practice the facilitation skills I learned in the communication retreat. I want to, and all of those serving one larger goal. And a way to work with that can be that the larger goal is one of the top 10, right? I want to practice letting, being informed by life. That might be the larger goal. And to say, by checking in once a week to decide how I'm going to practice with that this week. And that can be a way to tuck in all those smaller particular goals into a larger goal. And so in this next exercise, what we're going to be looking at is how can we support ourselves to achieve them? You know, we've made this plan. This is a plan that has the things that are important to me for this year that feel like they would really support me to have my best year yet. And so how can we support ourselves in that? And this is the section as awareness practitioners where we really shine, where I project it's really the tool that a lot of folks don't have the privilege of having access to. And it's why a lot of people who set goals just end up kind of in that battering cycle, right? And it doesn't happen, and I get beat up for it, and then I pull myself up by the bootstraps and start over and make some more decisions to be perfect, and right? But as awareness practitioners, we have a whole other possibility available to us. And not in the sense that we won't come up against all of the challenges that all conditioned humans come up against when setting goals and intentions, but in a sense that we understand that it's all a workshop. So even more thrilling than the content of achieving our goals is knowing how to use all of it to see the process, to see how we get talked out of it, to see how we get distracted, to see what we truly want, and in that process to learn the skill of directing our attention to what we truly want. And so now we're going to ask you to take a moment to look over those elements of your best year yet plan. And as I say, at the end of the workshop, or you know, sometime early this week, to sit down and lay it all out in a way that makes it fun and accessible to you. But for now, we're going to look through it, and we're going to look at how can we support ourselves in being successful with our plan. And so the way we're going to do that is we're going to get off the call for a period of time, and we're going to do a two-handed recording. And we'd ask you to do it in this way. So first, to put the recorder in the right hand and let yourself go to the place of being the owner of this new best year yet plan. So talk about it as if you were sitting down with a friend or someone who loves you and is really excited to hear about your new plan, right? So you're going out for a cup of tea with a really good friend. Oh, I just did this great workshop and I have this plan that I'm so excited about. Can I tell you all about it? Right? And this friend, of course, is going to say, absolutely, tell me every detail. I want to hear all of it. That's how you're going to talk about it. You can tell them about what you chose, why you chose it, what you're excited about, and also if there are any fears that you have around any of it, you know, things that you see that's coming up, well, I'm not really sure about this one, and just really let yourself be the person with the plan and say everything you want to say about it. And when that feels complete in the right hand, to switch the recorder, put it in the left hand, and then to listen back with all of your attention, with all your heart. So now that you've got the recorder in the left hand, you get to be that person who is excited to hear about it, who does want to hear all of the detail, all of it. And so just give it all of your attention, really listening back. You want to hear all about this plan. And then when that's complete, to press record and say whatever you feel moved to say to this person with the new Best Year Yet plan. Are there words of encouragement? Are there ways you feel moved to support this person? Look to see if there are ways the two of you want to put some fun structures in place to get to check in regularly on the plan. What is it that that supportive friend is willing to do to assist with this new Best Year Yet plan? And then to listen back to that recording. So I'll take questions in just a minute. It is now 9 minutes before the hour, and we will come back at 10 minutes past the hour. So you'll have a nice chunk of time to do this. Before we do that, any questions about the exercise? All right. So if folks would be back on the call at 10 minutes past the hour. All right, so welcome back. And now we will open it up to folks to tell us, what did you notice as you did a two-handed recording around how to support the person who made this brand new Best Year Yet plan for 2020? Who'd like to start us off?
This is Janice.
Hey, Janice.
Hi, Jen. One of the things that I noticed was how excited I sounded with the right-hand recording.
Uh-huh. So the person holding the right hand was really excited about the plan.
Exactly. And there were some things on the plan that are really, like, I'll give an example. It's something brand new. I go to a storytelling guild because I enjoy listening, and I decided this year I would learn how to tell.
Mm.
Yeah. And
that's big, I project. Uh-huh.
Yes, it sounds really, this is very measurable because there's a national conference that I'm going to sign up for. This is it. I've already been checking hotels. But it happens to be only, you know, maybe about 150 miles away from where I live. So it's actually going to, I'm sure it's going to be doable in May. And that when I listened back and I was getting some encouragement about this, so the left-hand encouragement was saying to remember to keep things, part of the goal is to keep things simple or simplify this year. Mm-hmm. And so to make it more doable, I can just locally practice, find a workshop and, you know, practice with friends telling stories. I'm sure I can do that. But I better do that before the conference in May, so I'm not just going to a national conference with zero experience.
Yep. So really excited. And one of the elements was that storytelling, the goal around storytelling, and then being able to bring in that, I don't know if it was part of your guideline, but somewhere in your plan was that keeping it simple. And so you were able to apply that principle to tailoring the support around the goal. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think it was keeping it simple in a way, even though I'm going to have to practice a little bit, but not ending up at a conference with no experience and feeling stressed. So it kind of keeps it simple by doing little bits at a time. So when I arrive, I suspect there'll be more ease because there's been some preparation. And those little steps are, they're manageable and measurable. If I look like,
exactly,
or say once a month, I will check in with my plan, that particular goal. I'm checking in different weeks for different things, but once a month I can check in and have I practiced something or learned some technique about storytelling? Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's a huge piece of being successful with our plan, is checking in regularly and deciding what is that check-in structure going to be. You know, I mentioned the other day, like a Sunday afternoon or whatever it is, and then you're looking at, oh, that's right, storytelling. Okay, let's do whatever is the next simple step. Because I think as people have been talking about insights around, oh, there's not enough time for all of this. Well, yeah, there actually is. If I choose, if I'm conscious about which things I want to be focused on right now and just taking those simple steps. So, perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Janice.
This is
Hi, this is Virginia.
This is Diane.
Okay. So, let me just, I got to write down. Virginia and Diane.
Susan.
And who else was it?
Susan.
Susan. Okay. And there was one other person in there, I think.
No, I think that was me, Susan, first.
That was you? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So we'll go Virginia, then Diane, and then Susan.
Okay. Great. Thanks. I was a little bit uncertain about my goals when I went to do the two-handed recording and what, while I was doing the recording, as the right hand was speaking. So she was excited in a way.
Virginia, can I have you pause for just a minute?
Of course.
So if you're cutting out just a little bit for me, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
Okay. Is it possible that your signal isn't strong wherever you're sitting right now?
I can change. I can move. Let's see if it's strong.
Okay. Yeah. You're strobing, basically. It's a little bit hard to
strobing. Oh, let me come off of speaker here.
Okay.
How's this? Is this any better?
Yes, that is definitely better.
Okay, great. So I was doing the right-handed part of the recording, and so one of my roles for the year was the completer of projects.
What's that?
One of my goals, completer of projects.
Okay.
You can. Yeah.
Okay. Try that again. I'm not sure you're coming through clearly. Try it again.
All right. Okay, so role that I called computer of project.
Yeah, unfortunately, Virginia, you're definitely strobing. I think we've established
I'm strobing.
So do you want to see if you can get to a better place, and then we'll take Diane.
Sure.
And then chime in after. I'll check in after we finish with Diane and see if you found a place where the signal might be better.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right, Diane.
Right.
Gee, I hope I don't have the same problem.
Nope. So far, you're perfect.
Great. Well, what I noticed was that it felt like work.
That it felt like work. Okay.
And so my enthusiasm was muted. And then when I did the recording, the true enthusiasm that I actually feel was coming up. It was like conditioning was telling me, yeah, you know, you've made goals before, all that kind of thing. But when I actually was able to record, I was able to feel the excitement that I actually do have about accomplishing these goals and moving forward in my life.
Wow, that is so fun. Wow. So in other words, conditioning was doing what it probably always does, right? Because we tend to see that, right? How we do anything is how we do everything. So we sit down to do a best year yet plan, and, you know, conditioning is going to try its usual routine, which is what it did. And on some level, you were aware of that. It was kind of making it into work. But then when you sat down to do the two-handed recording, the person who actually wants to do this, who signed up for the workshop, who has these goals, who has these things that are interesting and exciting to her, was actually able to be there and express herself on the recording.
Yes. And I was a little surprised and, of course, delighted.
Yeah, I bet. Does that give you any clues in terms of how to support her going forward in the process, in the plan?
Once again, recording and listening really helps.
Amen. Yeah. Well, and what I just saw was, Diane, it's so fun because, you know, what we can get when that, boy, it's actually really big, when the enthusiasm or excitement and about something like a best year yet plan begins to wane, all we realize is, oh, okay, well, the wrong person, if you will, is being put in charge of this, right? And very likely that, quote, person is conditioning, right? Because conditioning wants to dampen the whole thing down, make it into work, make it hard. And so with that critical realization, with that awareness, what we can practice doing is, well, let's touch back in with the person who made the plan. You know, let's make an appointment to sit down with her and to say, you know, we often talk about starting with where we are right now, to say, you know what, I've just really realized that the enthusiasm for this has started to wane and it's turning into work again. Hey, can we talk to the person who made the plan and literally invite her to talk about her enthusiasm, because that's where the fuel is for the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. That's a really good thing for me to add to what I've written down so I have that reminder.
Mm-hmm. I think that could be an important support structure for all of us, is regularly checking in with the person who made the plan. You know, it's kind of that thing, it's a similar principle to what Sherry talks about. Sometimes when we're talking about trauma that's happened in our lives, it's very rarely the person who actually had the trauma who we get to hear from. It's all the story around it. Well, maybe same principle holds here, that what we want to do is touch back in and hear from the person who actually made the plan, whose plan it is, and hear from her. How would you like to be supported in it? In big.
Yep, so thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Virginia, are you in a place where we can hear you now?
Yes, I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
Much better.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Okay. Let's see. So when I made the two-handed recording, it became much more clear what my focus is.
Cool.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure going in if I was just, like, making another list to do things, you know? Right, and so what my new paradigm was for the year, it's something along the lines of I express life's vitality in every action.
Aha, I express life's vitality in every action.
Yeah, because the old paradigm was sort of like, it's this kind of thing of what I do doesn't matter or I don't matter. So
right, and so realizing, of course I matter. Life is all of me. And so everything that's happening through me as Virginia is life's vitality. How could it not matter?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And because of these, you might imagine that life, I don't matter thing, it sort of is a depleting thing. And then the other is sort of like, it's, you know, it's so not true, because every moment there's this, like, the vitality of life is in me expressing.
Right.
So it matters. How could it not matter? It is what matters. And so, and so, go ahead.
No, you go. And so.
Okay. So one of the roles that came up for me was completer of projects, because there are many unfinished projects in my life that continue to be important to me. They just don't. They get right close to the end and they don't get completed. And I saw when I made the recording that that's how. That's a behavior that supports I don't matter.
That's right. Wow, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So then the person with the right hand really could get excited. She got really excited when she saw that, because it's the underlying process that's, you know, it's identifying that and training around that. That's really, that's what's exciting to her.
Yes. Exactly. So if I'm tracking, it's not even so much the projects themselves, although it sounds like each one of those projects is important to someone, right? Some part of you.
Right.
And so that's exciting too. But what's really exciting to this person who was recording in the right hand was, wow, that's a common denominator here across the board. And I project with that awareness comes the realization we can work with that. That doesn't have to be in charge of our life experience anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah. And just kind of like even just unveiling it, you know, to see it's not about you're good if you get the things done and you're bad if you don't. It's that when I'm identified with that belief or that part, then this is kind of what happens. And so when I'm disidentified and if I'm allowing the life's vitality to be expressed through me, I mean, what could happen, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And did anything drop in, Virginia, around specific support to, it
well,
sounds like, really help that completer of projects kind of person be successful in her role?
Yeah. So what's really important is to meet, like as you were saying, with the person who made the plan, or who can see this with clarity, because it, you know, I think that conditioning will be trying to turn it back into the other thing. So it's like a weekly meeting to kind of re-explore the focus and kind of recalibrate to make sure we're still focusing on that. And even, actually, I think that evening recordings every evening about the purpose or my focus on supporting this human being to know that she matters, you know, how that's related to completing the projects.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So checking in on that each evening to just remind yourself that that is the process focus. And that, you know, I just love that. Part of the reason I think a two-handed recording is so powerful in this setting is that when we can take that step back and be the person who is supporting Virginia, who's so excited about this, that tends to be easier than kind of that image of me pulling myself up by my bootstraps to make sure that I'm actually accomplishing this plan. Instead, I'm being the one who's supporting Virginia to do what she actually wants to do in her life. That tends to be a really energizing position to take.
Right, exactly. And then the other side of that is, because one of my goals is to do regular, at least two or three a day, two-handed recordings, the other part that supports the goal is that when that right hand gets to express herself and then the mentor listens, it's an affirmation. It's an action that supports she yeah. matters.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. It's confirmation.
Yeah. So
she matters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's
so
a demonstration.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's a
thank
demonstration.
You,
exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Who then?
Okay. Oh, so what I actually realized doing the final part was I could incorporate the guidelines and things we'd come up with previously. Like I was going through this list of goals and I could feel my guidelines. One was, what could I fit on a T-shirt? Which was, I make up the rules because success is defined by everybody else in the world and blah, blah, blah. And I realized, wow, I'm going to make up the rules. And then the other one was, listening to my body. So as I was making these goals and this and that, I could feel my body just like getting tenser, like, you know, like a workhorse with a low, you know, burden. And I was like, okay, what is my body telling me? This is too much, So, yeah, so then I just, when I did the recordings, I went back through and, the supportive voice was like, okay, what have you already got in your life, that structure that you know you do every day? Build this into it. Don't build another cathedral that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
Just make it easy. So, I found that the guidelines were a theme. It's like that overarching theme that kind of penetrated everything from that point on. And, I might make myself a T-shirt.
I love it. I love it. Because what I project onto that is that realization, that awareness that, what do they think? What do I, what do they want me to do? And what we get to in awareness practice is realizing all of that is a projection from those voices that are completely in control of my life, right? They say jump, I jump.
Yes.
They say you can't jump, I can't jump. And so that getting to that realization of, no, this life belongs to the person. Not to the voices. And that's that realization. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was, wait a minute, I make up the rules here. It's kind of the equivalent of where is that written or is that so, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I can feel even as I talk about it, a certain strength and kind of fun and not rebelliousness, but just a declaration of
yeah.
How I, how I want to, my third one was how I want to show up. So, I feel
Which
strong
is fun.
About it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it is.
The whole, what's that?
No, it is fun, and which is one of my things, I like, but I always get that, like, even doing this exercise, I could feel the, now there's a right way to do this, and you should do this.
Exactly.
You should do that. I'm like, wait a minute, I make up the rules here, shut up.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's so fun because something like the Best Year Yet process could truly be an expression of that. This is my life. This is my year. Not in the small my sense, right? Like, whatever. I don't care about everyone else, but in the big sense of, life is in charge of this life, as everyone's really been talking about all day. And so the Best Year Yet plan could simply be a way for me to state really clearly that supports me, the human being, to remember what I want to focus on. As you say, not a list of, well, I should do this and I should do that. And if I were the right person, I'd do that. And if I was responsible, I'd do this. Which, of course, conditioning tries to make it into that. But if we're paying attention and you use your guidelines, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. There's something going on in the body that's really familiar here. Using my guideline to tune into that and then boom, comes that insight, and the whole process around it changes.
Yeah, it's just, I had a thought when you were saying that, but it is. And it's when we were doing success and disappointments, it was like I was going by so many external definitions of success instead of, well, what is my definition? What does that look like for me? And that's going to be my benchmark, not something out there, because I can never be that out there. I have no passion for it. So it was empowering, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Who else?
Hi, it's Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Hey. Yeah, that was a great, that last part of the conversation really resonated with me because I was starting to head into a little bit of that process, which is, you know, I already do a lot every day. I already have a lot of, you know, I have to brush my teeth and, you know, do those types of things.
Right.
and so where am I going to, life is so hard. It's like, where am I going to, you know, and my goals, I did end up doing some very ambitious goals and they, you know, if I, well, I'll say when, you know, they do get incorporated, it will take a certain, a couple hours each day, essentially.
Mm.
And so, initially, I was like, I was starting to, see some of the conditioning that was starting to come up. And then I just, you know, landed on one of my lessons, which is, you know, it doesn't have to happen all at once. And and so what dropped in was, you know, maybe I just take, you know, I have 10 goals, you know, maybe I just incorporate one a month or something, you know, and just make it like a slow ramp up or something that is not what I could see conditioning setting me up for, which was, okay, this is basically our life plan starting tomorrow. whatever. We've just completely upended our life and like, you know, we can't, you know, all the other stuff that we pay attention to, like eating healthy and, you know, those are unfortunately going to have to go on the back burner as well as clean clothes and, you know, all of, you know.
Because someone's given this edict down from we're not sure where, but now we have no choice but to follow this life sentence. All right, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I just feel really grateful for this part of the conversation where I just got to see that and realize, like, okay, well, that's total malarkey. And, you know, this is a four-hour process where I really look to my heart to see what kind of life I want to be giving this person and how to steward the body is a big part of it. And so it's, you know, it doesn't have to happen. It's not going to happen on conditioning's time, I guess is what I'm realizing.
That's right. So huge. And Jill, when you look at some of those content things that you said, you know, some of them are some really big, ambitious things and could take like a couple of hours a day to really, you know, accomplish them. Do they now, looking at it through the lens you're looking at it, do they seem like things you actually do want on your best year yet plan?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, it's basically a lot of it is, you know, stretching and these things, but it's just about consistency and cardio stuff and all that stuff.
Got
so, and, you know, meditating every day, you know, these things are things that I'm, you know, part of it was stuff that I'm already committed to, but they've kind of fallen a little bit to every other day or one of those conditioned practices.
Did you have a chance to participate yesterday in the workshop?
I didn't. I can't wait for it to happen again. I've heard great things about it on this call.
Don't worry. It's completely life-changing, Jill. Everything about your life would be different.
Happy all the time.
It was a lovely process. And my intuitive sense is that the principles that we're all closing in on kind of everywhere in practice, you know, are all going to start coming together and be in the lexicon, I guess that's the word, you know, as we go forward. So not to fear that you missed, but the only reason I asked that is that I just feel like you're intuiting exactly what some of the things we were looking at yesterday. And just that place of really what we start to get clear on is instead of being handed a list of you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that, and it feeling like, oh, great. Like, I mean, yeah, maybe there's those 5 or 6 minutes of enthusiasm. And then, as you say, it feels like, okay, now I'm going to have to put the rest of my life on hold because I have this whole other thing going on. But instead,
there's that insight I project that, wait a minute, the whole reason I want to do these things is because it takes care of Jill. So
yes.
I'm not going to get talked into doing this in a way that doesn't take care of Jill. That
yeah.
completely defeats the purpose.
Exactly. In fact, that was the recording that I just did in the two-handed, which was, you know, you're not going to basically go to some hobo life because of this, you know, it's like, don't worry about the laundry and, you know,
yeah.
all these things that I feel like I pay, you know, I just have a lot of awareness about like, okay, so where am I? I mean, everybody has all the stuff that we already do every day. And
yeah.
so, you know, the conditioned idea that suddenly I would just be walking around with looking very unkempt is, was just kind of a funny,
funny
to have
that
experience.
Wants to use it to torture us, right?
Yeah. And that I was able as a mentor to come and be like, you know what, let's not even worry about that. That's absolutely not going to happen.
Yeah.
And if it does, you know, we'll cross that, you know,
practice
on
that.
We're awake, so it's not going to happen in an unconscious space. Everything will be fine with this. So,
yeah, and I just feel like a theme that's come up over and over again today that you're really pointing directly at is that one of what now, right? What's the step now, right? Whether it's each goal has a month. Or it's what are we working with this week or whatever it is. Because one of the things I've really been looking at in my own practice along these lines is trusting the life intelligence, trusting the goodness, trusting the practice of the human being that she wants what's best. She's going to choose what's best. So then in whatever it is that I choose, what I'm actually practicing is learning to love the process of what I'm doing. And it could be, so I choose one tiny thing. And what I'm learning, what I'm training to do in that is to do it, right, no matter, quote, how I feel or whatever, and also to experience that I want to do it and there's a benefit to it. And once I really am trained in that skill, then I can begin to apply that skill to all of the other, quote, content things on my plan. And they just sort of begin to happen without me pushing to make it all happen.
I mean, one thing that I encountered a little bit in this process that everyone has this experience I'm projecting is, you know, short-term goals versus long-term goals and things like that, or short-term happiness versus long-term, you know, sustainability, you know, I mean, there is a lot that I think goes into choices like this. It's been a lot of fun.
And we pay attention to all of it. And that's what informs us over time, right?
So that's the key is just pay attention.
And don't quit.
Don't quit. I love that. That was absolutely one of mine, too. Don't quit. Don't give up.
Don't give up. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
This is Rebecca.
This is Laura.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey. Wow. That was so brilliant to follow up the Best Year Yet plan with the two-handed recording. And so what I saw was very similar to what you were talking about with the others, but I just want to kind of say my version of it, which is that the mentor really, really wanted to hear what I had to say. And delighted in the delight of the plan, and delighted even in the parts of the plan that I sounded scared about, or I was a little, feels a little edgy, but you know, and so that was really good to experience. And specifically, one of my guidelines, you said you hear yourself saying this. I've said this now four times in the last week, but. And it came out as one of my guidelines. It's something from the communication book, and it is that communication is the ability to see what is so and to say it. And one of my guidelines is see what is so and say it and say it and say it.
oh, that's good.
isn't it? I mean, it felt like it resonated so deeply. And I've got this wonderful listener, and, you know, in this left hand that just wants to hear it all. And so that was just so wonderful because I, too, like the others were talking about, I could feel the walls closing in on the plan and, all of that. And doing that two-handed recording exercise just blew them way back open.
It's so fun. You know, I was thinking about it too, Rebecca, when we stopped and did that. I thought, God, that really is the master stroke of what awareness practice is. Because, I mean, I think, I don't know. Anyway, I project Best Year Yet also have that insight in that they have the structure they use is to have a buddy, to choose a buddy to help you stay accountable to it. But I was just thinking how normally when we finished that last question, that's really the end of the Best Year Yet process. There, now, you've got your Best Year Yet plan, right? Okay,
that
was fun. Thanks for coming, everyone. You know?
Uh-huh.
And I just, it's so, and when we were putting it, when I was kind of putting the workshop together, I thought, it's so perfect and so fun that the place that we're actually pausing and taking time is at the end of the workshop in looking at how can we support ourselves, because that is the masterstroke of awareness practice. It truly is.
Yeah. It so is. It is so brilliant. And, you know, in a way, it speaks exactly to that point of communication, right?
Yes.
To see what is so. I mean, how many years have many of us been doing this, right? To see what is so and then say it, and this is how we are saying it. You know, we're doing all of that, you know, and it also speaks to the trust that you were just talking about. That really resonated with me. So much of my practice has been and is always about trusting the inherent goodness of the authentic human being and the practitioner, you know, to realize. In fact, that's one of the things the mentor said, because one of her apprehensions is that in the past it's always been so content heavy, and it got judged on a content basis, and it felt like ego could come in and try to quote make it happen, and that was always my falling in the manhole place, you know, of trying to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the things the mentor said in this two-handed most recently was, I don't hear any of that in what you're saying, because if that was in response to me going kind of, or the right hand going, I'm kind of nervous that this is going to be opening the door for karma to come in, and then the mentor saying, well, I don't hear that. I know you know that life is directing everything. We all know that, you know, and so just sort of resting in that innocence and goodness of that's already been established, as we say.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and that trust in the process that, I guess it was Jill, you know, so if I do head down the hobo track, well, then I head down the hobo track and, you know, I'll practice with that, right? I mean, they're just, we truly can trust it. We truly can. Yeah. I don't have to be in charge of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. So thank you for that. This last hour, I was looking at the clock going, did we say we were going till 5? You know,
what are we going to do
like,
now?
What are we doing now?
Have a party?
It's been so wonderful. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Jen.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. Laura.
I feel like I was having in some ways a similar process that a lot of people have talked about that. I think someone said, like, the walls closing in, you know, like the walls were closing in as we were doing sort of the goal setting.
The goal part.
And I got to the two-handed recording, and what came out on the right hand was just, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to rip it up. And And I think that the two things that kind of came out in the left hand was, because I think that there was a sense in the right hand of like, you know, just like writing down all the roles and all the everything. It just feels like overwhelming. And and like the one of the things that I feel like I'm just like mushed in the middle of all this stuff, you know, and. And so then in the left hand, it was kind of like, this is not about mushing. This is
this is not a mushing process.
And basically, like, you know, you're what's most important. You matter to me. You're what's most important in this. Like, because I think I was just sort of feeling sort of kind of in that process of, okay, here's all the standards, and Laura's just going to have to contort herself to try to make it happen. And then I think what felt good was like, okay, like maybe there's a kernel of truth in the, I just want to rip this up of like, okay, some of these goals may not actually be helpful, you know, like maybe we need to refocus a little bit and focus maybe more on process or whatever it is that's going to give us that spaciousness. But that.
So, Laura, do you have an example, or you could make one up, of one of the goals that got put on there that feels like I just want to rip it up?
One of them is being promoted at my new job, which is probably going to happen and all that, but it was to be on track to be promoted to another role in my new job. Which, you know, is something I hope for and all that. But I think like my process in the new job so far has been that it feels like the karma is I've got to look perfect. I've got to make people, you know, like that's what would like to come in is sort of like, I've got to twist myself up into knots to present the right appearance and take care of myself.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You know, like what's most important is looking perfect. Like, and that what I've actually been practicing with is I'm taking care of Laura. People can have going on whatever they've got going on. What I'm doing is, and whatever's going to happen, happen. You know, and like that's actually the process that I actually want to be in the job. Like, I have the sense that that will actually, you know, is actually conducive to me doing a good job and everything, but it's like that's sort of secondary, you know, that, and that when it becomes the content, like I was seeing, it's like that's, if that happens, great, you know, the promotion or whatever, but it's like, that's not what's going to make the best year yet, you know, like what's going to make the best year yet is that process of love and care and being with her at work, you know, like,
Boy, there's just so much in it, really. Because, there's that place of the goal gets put down there, and I can't completely tell, but it sounds like maybe part of why it gets down there is there is a part of you who's like, that would be fun. That would be great to get promoted at work, right? So there is some spark there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then once that's down there, it sounds like then it gets read through the lens of, which means you're going to have to be perfect. You have to be exactly who everyone wants you to be. You have to look a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You have to be a certain way. And then someone's like, you know what? You know, whatever you, blank you, I don't want to do that. I've been down that road and no way. And so now what we have is a perfect storm for ego talking to ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to. If you want to get promoted, I mean, you said you want to get promoted, but you have to do these things. Well, I'm not going to. I don't want to do those things. So there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you described, right? How do you say a mushed in the middle of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that seems so key about that is that it's the place that Sherry talks about sometimes where people will say, you know, I've stopped making commitments because it's such a suffering process. And the encouragement, it seems like, that she often gives to us is it's not so much that we want to not make the commitments. It's that we want to catch on to the suffering process that's happening around it, which is what you're catching on to.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I mean, I think the masterstroke potentially that we can see is, okay, great. So if we see that all of our goals have all of these stepping stones, like we've been talking about, you know, this step and this step and this step, then perhaps there is someone for whom the promotion at work is exciting and interesting and all that. And what we realize is the step before that is to train in the process of not being tortured in making commitments.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this year or the first 6 months of this year, that's what the goal is around. You've had that insight, right? Maybe it's more of a process goal. Maybe the goal is, you know, I had just had this image when you were talking of the privileged environment. Because what you want, it sounds like at work, is to have an inward focus. You want to have the privileged environment. You don't want to be, you want to have custody of the eyes, custody of the attention, in the sense that your attention is on Laura, how Laura's doing, what Laura's work is, you know, what's going on with Laura, the process focus for Laura, the support for Laura. You don't want to have your attention on, well, what do they think? What do they look like? What are their, you know, right? So maybe that's the first goal. And once we've got that one, then we can look and see what else is after that.
Yeah. That feels really helpful. And, because that's what it felt like, was like just throw, like, yeah, I don't want to make commitments. Like last year, I didn't do goals. Like I kind of went through a similar process, but I was like, I'm just not going to do. Like I kind of had some intentions and whatever, but it just felt so. And so I was kind of like, maybe I just shouldn't do goals this year, you know. It's like, but like you say, it's how can I keep the goals but skip the torture?
Exactly, and as always, you know. Again, this is one of the old saws that I always say, but. To start where we are, because that's where the wisdom is. That's where the information is. And so where you were is, I want to rip this stupid goal. I want to rip the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to, well, now, come on, we can't get rid of the commitments. Now, let's just, you know, here we go. Let's just take it one step at a time, or whatever kind of the platitude would be. Instead, we put that recorder in the right hand, and we let her talk about why she wants to rip that plan up. Because you know what? There's going to be a lot of really good information in there for us.
Thank you.
Good process. Thank you, Laura. I think we've got time for one more person. Anyone else?
This is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
So I'm really thankful for what you just said, because it brought this entire workshop to me, for me, back to something I've been working with for the last couple months, which is, you know, there's like this original life prompting, which is this whole process of trying to set these goals and the things that have come up. And then conditioning leaps in and hijacks that original prompting, and then you're down the rabbit hole and playing with all this stuff. And you forget, you know, it's like I would lose the original prompting that life was guiding me to do. And whatever you just said, it was like, oh, I just saw it. You catch on to the suffering and the conditioning that comes up in the process, and then so you can drop it, and then you can get back to enjoying the original commitment, the original prompting that caused you to make the commitment in the first place.
Bingo.
And it was like, oh, yes, it's the same. Ooh. Yeah. So thank you.
Such a relief. It's the short recitation, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
If we're suffering, we're believing something's more important than suffering. We've basically been pulled down some suffering track into some conversation.
Yep.
Just the very realization of that, the awareness of that, is all that's needed to remove the, I keep thinking of the Rumi quote today, removing the barriers to love, right? I don't have to try to love, just practicing seeing through everything that's a barrier to that, and then poof, there it is. Oh, right, right back on track.
The original. Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Gail. Yeah, so fun. And, you know, thank you to everyone. And I feel like, especially in this last part, what we're seeing, of course, is, you know, the process truly is the part that we want to pay attention to. So so pay attention to that, right? And just kind of continue on. Work with it. Play with it. You know, we've been talking about, you know, for whatever X period of time, working with the various components, checking in, doing some right-handed recordings, seeing what's most supportive, and just practicing with all of it. It's such a great support. So thank you, everyone, for participating, and thank you for supporting the project in Africa. We are entering into our last week of the campaign, so it's very exciting. And thank you for being part of supporting it through signing up for this workshop. All right.
Jen, this is Jardine.
Yeah.
Can I say two words?
Sure.
Is it possible that a buddy system could grow from this workshop? Like if anybody wants to have a best year yet buddy, that could continue on like that.
Right. I think probably on the content level, the answer is probably not from this particular thing, although you could certainly write in to the guest master if you had a question around that in particular. But I do know that there are some new Sangha things coming up that might assist with that kind of thing. So,
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jardine. And don't forget, I think it was, go ahead.
Oh, hi, it's Barbara. I just had a question about the fundraising, Africa fundraising.
Oh, sure.
Is the fundraising platform going to sort of close at the end of January, or will it remain open for people to donate?
You're right. That's a good question, Barbara. I think we have traditionally closed it. I'm not sure exactly sort of on the content level how all of that will pan out. So we will be sure to communicate, as we do officially close out the campaign, we'll be sure to communicate how that's going to happen and also to make sure that there is, I think Sherry mentioned this in the kickoff workshop too, that, you know, for folks who want to keep participating or maybe they're continuing to do efforts to fundraise, that sort of thing, we'll make sure that there is an avenue for people to plug into if they're still continuing to do that.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Just the last thing I was thinking and when Jardine was talking was Rebecca. I mean, everyone really, but I feel like especially Rebecca was pointing at that how we have a buddy. Don't forget about that internal buddy that we really have. And it's not the same. Jardine's right. It's not the same as having a kind of accountability system with an external person. But it is powerful, really powerful. So maybe to put it on your calendar once every X period of time to check in with that buddy and get that support that you want and need.
Ashwini?
Yeah, please, Ashwini.
I do want to announce the program because I was hoping to announce it yesterday and there was no, it just slipped my mind, but there is a program that we're launching on April 1st and then perhaps there's a way in which it's called Commitment Support Buddies. And the program will pair you up with a coach who you can text with around your commitments. Just like Reflective Listening Buddies, it's a quarterly program, and if you sign up for it, you get assigned a coach with whom you can articulate what your commitments are for the quarter, and then on a weekly basis on a daily basis, text with them in order to get support around keeping those commitments. So truly stay tuned for that. I just wish we could launch it earlier than when we are projecting to launch it, but we'll just see. There's a bunch of stuff that needs to come together for that, but if there's a way in which we can do something for Jordan,
to write
we'll
in.
Look.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I think we'll just see what we could do to make it happen earlier, I guess, to support this process.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I was practicing Jodine restraint and religious observances.
It's commitment
so
support buddies.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Say that again, Ashwini.
The program is called Commitment Support Buddies, and it'll be like RLB, opens every quarter, and watch out for it because it's the new thing that we're launching. Because exactly for the reason I think we're looking at all of this, which is not only do we want to support our ability to keep commitments.
The extraordinary process around that, everything we.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just the content, as everyone's pointing at, the content of each thing, but the process that we get trained in around it is just so beautiful, so perfect for practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, perfect ending to our day. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you in the next practice opportunity.